Hey, this is Connie Hunter, KCIW, Curry Coast Community Radio, Community Conversations Radio Show. Today, we have a special broadcast that is from the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell. We wanted to make sure that our local firefighters and people in our fire districts understand that last year was a huge and record-breaking fire season. In addition to that, we also know that $2.6 billion was spent just on fire suppression, and that's 52% of the U.S. Forest Service budget, which indicates a decline in Forest Service hosting at campgrounds and a decline in forest management. So, one of the issues that came out of the press conference was, should we talk to Congress and ask them for more money, more funding on the maintaining of forests in prevention of fires?
Good day, and welcome to today's live broadcast from the USDA radio studios in Washington, D.C., featuring the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, and U.S. Forest Service Chief, Tom Tidwell. Reporters and members of the media wishing to ask a question of the Secretary or Chief after the opening remarks, please press star 1 on your telephone touch-tone pad. It's now my pleasure to introduce Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
Rod, thank you very much, and thanks to everyone who is joining us for the call today. I'm here at the fire desk in the Yates Building in Washington, D.C., with Chief Tidwell and Undersecretary Robert Bonney and others to discuss the upcoming fire season. I think it's important to point out that a year ago when we had a similar meeting, no one expected that we would be faced with a record-breaking year of over 10 million acres that burned. No one anticipated the great tragedy of losing 7 of our Forest Service firefighters as a result of dangerous and difficult fires that they were fighting and situations that they were involved in. We all know from the dangerous nature of last year and the preceding years that the wildland fire environment has profoundly and significantly changed over time. We are seeing longer fire seasons. We are seeing more fires. We're seeing higher intensity and severity of the fires that we are fighting, and that means higher cost and greater threat to life and property. Just to give you a sense of how this has evolved, in the western U.S., from 1970 to 2012, we've seen a 7-fold increase in fires of greater than 10,000 acres, a 5-fold increase in fires greater than 25,000 acres. Even smaller fires have seen a significant increase, a 4-fold increase in fires over 1,000 acres in Arizona and Idaho, a doubling of fires over 1,000 acres in California and Colorado and Montana, New Mexico, Nevada, Oregon, Utah, and Wyoming. And this year, we face an even greater circumstance potentially in the state of California. As you all know, California has been through 5 years of drought that continues today. It has had a significant impact on tree health in the state, so that to date, we received a report from our personnel in California that there are over 40 million dead trees in California. 29 million of those trees died in 2015. Creates a tremendous hazard, potential hazard, for fire and firefighting this year. The Forest Service has redirected $30 million in an effort to try to begin the process of treating areas that are at most profound risk, campgrounds, roads, trails, areas that abut communities. Last year, we spent $2.6 billion fighting fires. Over 68,000 fires were started last year throughout the U.S. 4,500 homes were severely burned, and of course, we had the tragedy of the loss of firefighters. This year, we are facing a serious circumstance in California. and potentially normal and in some areas above normal fire seasons in the southwest and the southern portion of the United States. We're prepared as we've always been prepared. Over 10,000 firefighters are on call and ready when the call comes to fight fires in all parts of the country. We have 21 exclusive use air tankers available. We have another 6 to 12 that will be on call from other sectors, and 900 engines at the ready, 300 helicopters, two water scoopers, and over 30 aerial supervisory fixed-wing aircraft to complement the personnel that we at the Forest Service have hired and trained to fight these fires. Last year, we had over 26,000 people from the Forest Service, from local and state governments, from private sector partners, and from federal agencies, other federal agencies, fighting fires. In addition to the 10,000 firefighters that are on call, we also will recognize the transfer of responsibilities on the part of thousands of other Forest Service personnel who will pick up the slack in terms of providing additional logistic help and assistance in fighting these fires. We have taken a very comprehensive and cohesive approach to preparing for fires. We know we have to continue to do work on our public lands. We know that we have to engage the private sector in an aggressive effort at restoration and resilience, and we know that the public and homeowners in the over 70,000 communities that interface the wildland interface, the 45 million homeowners whose homes are at risk, we all have a part to play, which is why we focus on our community programs, Ready, Set, Go program, efforts to try to make sure that people are spending some time thinking about how they might better prepare for this upcoming fire season. Last year, we spent 52% of the Forest Service budget on fire suppression. The reality is that we're headed in the very near term to nearly two-thirds of the Forest Service budget being allocated to fire costs. That means we have less money for the resilience and restoration work that is so critically important. In addition to redirecting of resources, in addition to the borrowing of resources that have occurred in the past, we also have seen a significant decline in the number of personnel at the Forest Service who are dedicated to managing our forests, not to putting fires out, but to making sure that the trails are available, to making sure that the cabins are good places to stay, making sure that visitors, the 165 to 166 million visitors who come to the Forest Service, have a good time and feel good about their National Forest Service. Well, the personnel that's dedicated to managing the forest has substantially declined since 1998, when we had over 17,500 folks dedicated to that effort. Today, we have about 10,000 folks. At the same time, we've seen a dramatic increase, obviously, in the number of personnel and staffing levels dedicated to fighting fires and fire suppression. In 1998, we had a little over 5,000 folks dedicated to that effort. Today, we have over doubled that amount. So in personnel and resources and time, there's no question that we've seen a marked difference in circumstances concerning firefighting. And this year, we expect will be no different. Very concerned about California, very concerned about parts of the West. Even with a normal fire season, we're looking at thousands and thousands of fires, and we all know that many of those fires will be very, very large and expensive fires. So that's why it's important for Congress to once and for all finally fix the fire budget. This is a circumstance where we've had conversations and discussions for a number of years, and each year we continue to borrow money. Each year we continue to see declining resources and declining personnel dedicated to managing our forests, and each and every year we see an increase in the risk of destruction as a result of intense and significant fires, the risk of property damage, and most importantly, the risk to life. So it is important that we be prepared. It's important that we be ready. It's important that we pre-position assets as we have to fight fires where we think the risks are greatest. It's important for us to continue the work at making our forests more resilient and to restore our forests. One last point that I want to make before I turn it over to the Chief for further discussion is, even in the areas where we have a normal fire season, as is expected in Arizona and New Mexico area, for example, even in those areas, once they get through the peak period in May and June, they have resources that then must be dedicated to fighting fires in other locations, which means that they can't be dedicating personnel to doing the preparatory work, the preparation work that's so important to allow others, through our good neighbor authority, the state officials, to be able to help us do a better job of managing and maintaining our forests. We could have more work being done on our forests if we had the preparatory work, the NEPA analysis that is required to be done. To do that requires people. And you can't have people dedicated to fire suppression in California because you've got a crisis. Because you haven't done the job of maintaining and making your forest more resilient. They can't be back home during the NEPA analysis that would allow the state of New Mexico or the state of Arizona that's prepared to do more work in this area to be able to do more work. We have dedicated folks here. They are keenly aware of the risk. They are very interested and dedicating their life to maintaining these forests. They just need a partner in a Congress that understands the time is now for these major forest fires to be treated as the national disasters they are and funded as such, which would then provide additional resources and certainty in the Forest Service budget. So whether we had an abnormal year or a normal year, the important work of maintaining and managing our forests would continue. We would reduce the risk to the 70,000 communities that interface with our forests. We would reduce the risk to the 44 to 45 million homes that are at risk. We would reduce the risk to millions of people, and as importantly, the firefighters who put themselves on the line every single day to protect our forests, to protect our homes, and protect our families. So with that, I'm going to turn over to the Chief, and I want to thank the Chief for his leadership in a very, very difficult and stressful time in the Forest Service. Chief.
Well, Mr. Secretary, thank you, and I appreciate everyone on the call with us today. I would like just to stress a couple of points that the Secretary made. These hotter, drier, and longer fire seasons that are now 78 days longer on average, it is the new normal, and it produces the severe and at times very extreme fire behavior that puts more and more of our firefighters and our public at risk. And I just need to stress that these are the conditions that we're dealing with today, driven by climate change, the extensive drought that we're seeing throughout the country, especially out in California. And then you add to that the 44 million homes that are now in the wildland-urban interface. These are the things that drive not only the risk to our firefighters, but the cost of being able to deal with this. Where we are making good progress, steady progress to thin out our forests and reduce that threat, there's no question that we need to accelerate our restoration work in combination with continuing our suppression efforts. The other thing I would just stress, when we talk about a normal fire season, as the Secretary mentioned, you know, we're talking about, on average, 70,000 fires across this country. And just with the Forest Service alone, it's 7,500. That's the new normal. And year after year, we have another state that sets another record for having the largest wildfire on record. The last 2 years, it happens to be the state of Washington. For 2 years in a row, they have set the record for the largest wildfire on record. So these are the conditions that we're dealing with today, and where we are prepared, and we work very closely with our partners and our cooperators to have the finest fire suppression system in the world. It's essential for folks to understand what we're up against. And then the other key thing that I always would ask is that across the country, close to 80% of wildfires are human caused. And anything that we can all do to be more careful with fire around our homes when we're out enjoying our public lands, every time that we can prevent another fire from getting started, that just makes it that much easier on our firefighters. So I would appreciate everyone continuing to carry that message for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. I want to just add one additional comment to what the Chief said and to underscore an important aspect of all of this, which is often not discussed. Congress and the Senate has been debating for some time a drought relief bill for California focused on water. And there's been a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of desire to sort of get something done in a bipartisan way on that issue of water. Forest fires and the maintenance of our forests is as much about water as a drought relief bill is about water. The reality is that 60 million people who live in the western part of the United States are dependent on the Forest Service in part for the water that they need. And it's certainly true of the agricultural community as they look at scarce water resources. The better we maintain our forests, the more water resources can be retained and available for multiple uses, including agriculture. So this isn't just about maintaining the forest. This isn't just about welcoming visitors to these national treasures. It isn't just about the millions of homes and people who are at risk. It's also about maintaining a robust agricultural presence in the western U.S. in particular.
And reporters, this reminder, if you have a question for either Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack or U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell, please press star 1 on your telephone touch tone pad. Let's go to the phone lines for the first call of the day. That honor belongs to Dan Elliott of the Associated Press. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Gentlemen, I've heard two different figures for how much was spent last year on firefighting, $2.5 billion and $1.7 billion. Could you explain a little bit what goes into that $2.5 billion total that you mentioned today?
Well, it is the cumulative cost of the Interior Department and the Forest Service in fighting fires. It pays for the personnel. It pays for putting up literally small communities that have to be set up in order to allow firefighters the ability to sleep, to be able to eat, to shower. Small towns actually get set up at a moment's notice when we have one of these large major fires. It pays for the air tankers that might be in need to supplement the ones that we have exclusive use for. Some of those we own, some of those we lease. It pays for the equipment. It pays for the engine repairs. It pays for the firefighting equipment that firefighters are constantly getting that's upgraded, that provides greater protection. It pays for others who are potentially get reimbursed for costs and services that they provide on National Forest Service land and on BLM land.
Yeah, and this is Robert Bonning. You will hear two different numbers, and the difference is a lot of times the $1.7 billion that you heard is the suppression dollar. But the Forest Service spends money both on fire suppression, which you could think of as the variable cost. When we have a bad year, our suppression costs rise dramatically, but we also have preparedness costs. So the larger figure is typically the figure that includes both of those. And the total cost of the Forest Service is both the preparedness and the suppression, and that's where that larger figure comes from.
And reporters, this reminder, if you have a question for our guest, Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell, Undersecretary Robert Bonney, please press star 1 on your telephone touch-tone pad. Our next question of the day belongs to Sophia Canthara of Arizona PBS. Sophia, good morning.
Hi, thank you so much. My question is for the Secretary. So you mentioned that Arizona and New Mexico are expecting to have a normal fire season. Is that correct?
The first 6 weeks of the fire season are expected to be above normal for New Mexico and Arizona, and after that, it would taper down. But just to be clear on this, a normal fire season is thousands of fires. An abnormal season would obviously be an increased above and beyond that normal number.
And our next question of the day belongs to Curtis Alexander of the San Francisco Chronicle. Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the time today to talk to us. You mentioned during the call the potential severity of the upcoming fire season, particularly in California. As you know, we've had a lot of dry years recently due to the drought, but this past year was relatively normal in terms of rain and snow. I was wondering if this relatively wet weather will temper the fire risk, or what it does to create the potentially severe fire season that you were talking about, how it sort of plays into that.
Well, it may have rained, but obviously it would have to rain an incredible amount more for California to be back to where it was pre-drought. And it may positively impact and reduce risk in the northern part of the state, but the southern part of the state, which is the highly populated part of the state, is at significant risk because the drought continues. And the fact that we had 29 million trees die last year is an indication that we're still dealing with a serious consequence. It isn't just, I think it's important to understand that as you've got dead trees, you've got 40 million dead trees, you've got 40 million opportunities for very intensive fires because you have a tremendous amount of hazardous fuel buildup that has occurred. And if you still have very dry conditions in Southern California, where 26 million people are at risk, you're looking at a very serious situation. And these are areas and forests where fighting the fires is particularly challenging because of the terrain. Chief, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I'd also like to add where in Northern California especially, we did have a more favorable snowpack and precip during the winter. However, what we saw this spring is that snowpack has come off a lot faster than what we've normally seen. That's why we have fire seasons now that are 78 days longer. In addition to that, that favorable precip during the winter has produced a lot of fine fuels that are going to be drying out as we speak. That'll fuel especially the low elevation fires. And then the other key point, the southern half of the state just didn't receive the level of precip we see in the north. And so when we look at, especially through the Sierras, the number of dead trees and really the lack of precip, we're expecting to have definitely a very active fire season. The other key point that I would add, it takes more than 1 year of even normal precip to recover from a drought. And especially with the dead logs and the trees, those large fuels, they take more than 1 year to recover their fuel moisture. So we're still suffering from that extended drought. And so we anticipate a very active fire season this year in California.
You know, to add an additional data point on this, we were told earlier today that the cost of fire suppression just in the last several years has grown dramatically in that part of the country. Just probably 5-6 years ago, we were looking at a $200 million annual cost. It rose to $500 million in 2013-14 and to $1 billion in 2015. So you can see a tremendous increase in the cost of and the intensity and severity of the fires that have been that we've been experiencing in California. And that's what prompts the serious concern about this year's fire season.
Back to the phone lines we go. Our next question belongs to Kiara Ephelon of KVEW Television. Kiara, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you very much. I was wondering, the two of you talked about California, Arizona, New Mexico. Washington State was briefly mentioned. We had a particularly bad fire season last year. We lost firefighters who died, you know, battling fires to protect our lives. What can Washingtonians expect this year in terms of the upcoming wildfire season?
Well, I think it's going to be a normal fire season, but that means that you're going to have hundreds or thousands of fires in the Northwest. So, and at any point in time, one of those fires might, because of conditions, become a very, very serious and intense fire. But it's expected to be a normal fire season, so you're dealing with thousands of fires as opposed to, you know, more than that.
And our next question of the day belongs to John Myers. He's with the Duluth News Tribune. John, good morning.
Morning, guys. I just wonder if you have any kind of forecast for the Great Lakes region. Obviously, a little different fire perspective than the far west, but do you have any sense of where we're going to be in the forests of the Great Lakes?
We expect that to be a normal fire season. One of the things that we deal with in the Great Lakes, fire season comes late in the season. So depending how the weather patterns develop over the rest of the year, that'll really dictate what we're dealing with there. I would point out that just what's occurring to the north up in Canada this year, not only the Alberta fires, but also the fires in Ontario, that indicate how dry things are right now at this point in time. So we're going to have to just wait to see how that develops.
The drought monitor suggests potentially some dry areas in the Great Lakes area during the course of May and June, and that we'll just have to see whether or not that contributes to a circumstance.
Yeah, and this is Robert Bonney. I'd make one other point, which is the Secretary emphasized in his comments the slow shift of resources away from non-fire activities, forest management, restoration, recreation, towards fire. And it's important to realize that this isn't just a Western issue, that those shift of resources influence your national forests in the Great Lakes region. That is, our staffs there are smaller than they would be otherwise. We're able to do less work all across the country because of the impact of fires, which is largely a Western problem, largely a Southern problem. You clearly don't see the type of fires that we're seeing right now in the West and in the Upper Great Lakes right now, at least we aren't right now. But it's important to note that the impacts to the agency are occurring uniformly across the country and impacting the ability of residents in the Great Lakes to enjoy their national forests just as they are in parts of the West.
It's a function of fewer people, and it's a function of borrowing money from accounts that would otherwise be doing projects, say, in Michigan or in New York or wherever, that are being redirected and being borrowed in order to put fires out because we haven't done the restoration and resiliency work that we want to do and need to do. Because we haven't had the consistency and the stability of a restoration and resiliency budget as we see more and more money going to fire suppression.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell, Undersecretary Robert Bonney, and you in the listening audience and on the phone lines. And joining us on the phones with the next question of the day, Steve Gorman of Reuters. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I want to go back to the number of trees that you said have been counted as dead or dying in California. I think it was just California throughout, or maybe it was throughout the West. And if you could run through those numbers again and sort of explain, what the cumulative number is versus how many have died last year, and if you can quantify the increase that it's been over time, and also address the causes behind this. I mean, I think it's a combination of drought and insect infestation. But maybe you could talk about the interaction of those two.
Well, it's 40 million trees in the state of California. 29 million died in 2015. It is a direct result of the drought and a changing climate. Certainly in other parts of the West, we've seen bark beetle infestations that have also been responsible for tens of millions of trees dying. All of that, we think, is connected as well to a changing climate, warmer temperatures, obviously the prolonged droughts, and more insects that would otherwise die but for the fact that winters aren't as severe as they once were. So it's a combination, but it's 40 million in California, 29 in 2015.
Mr. Secretary, this is Tom Fidwell. What I'd add to that is our scientists are quick to point out that we expect this mortality to continue for at least 3 more years, even with favorable moisture.
Back to the phone lines we go, and we go to Connie Hunter of KCIW Radio. Connie, good morning.
Hi, I'm in Curry County, Oregon, which is the southernmost county, and thank you for allowing us the opportunity to hear your report. We appreciate knowing what's coming in the 2016 fire season. We'd like to have a little more information about what will be affecting southern Oregon. And I want to mention that the city of Brookings, which is the first town north of the California border where I live, is one of the two cities in Oregon that was allowed to be in HUD's Natural Disaster Resilience Competition. And as a new startup radio station, we followed that grant competition, and we did not make it to the final round, as California's needs, especially in the area of forest and forest disaster resilience and the great deed down there. One thing that I would like to ask is, first of all, what grant funding might be available for Southern Oregon in terms of forest management? And I'm going to do a little bit of advocacy because my Community Conversations radio show is about bringing up points that we need to look at. I know with HUD, they have the housing first. I guess it's a philosophy. And why not forest management first? Thank you for having me on here.
We would love to have forest management first, but that's the whole point of this call, which is to point out that more and more money of the Forest Service budget is going to putting out and fire suppression. In 1995, 16% of the Forest Service budget was allocated to fire costs, fire suppression preparedness costs. Today, last year, 56% of our Forest Service budget was allocated to that purpose, and it's anticipated without change that it will grow in the near future to 67%, which means that we have fewer dollars to spend on management. In addition, at the same time that was happening, we also saw a shift in personnel. Back in 1995-98, we had a significantly greater number of people dedicated to the Forest Service to managing their forest than we did folks who were dedicated to putting fires out. In fact, it was probably 3-1. For every firefighter, we probably had 3 people focused on management. Today, there are more folks focused on firefighting than there are on management. So we've seen a shift and a reduction in personnel in terms of management. And it's because each and every year, despite Congress's best efforts to try to figure out how to allocate enough money to fight fires, they never get it right because we are seeing longer, more intense, costlier fires and a longer fire season and more fires. So every year in the past, we've had to borrow money from the restoration and maintenance funds to be able to pay to put the fires out, which has let Congress off the hook. Now, we've looked for creative ways to leverage our resources. We have a joint chiefs initiative with Chief Tidwell and Chief Weller of NRCS focused on joint conservation and working sort of in a one all lands approach. Focused on large scale landscapes where there's Forest Service interests and private ownership interests that can be collaborated in a cohesive plan. That's also true in the state of Oregon. That obviously has been part of our effort But in order for us to do management on this forest, in order for us to have a state like Oregon do more work, we also have to do the analysis, the environmental analysis that's preparatory to any work that is done on a national forest. You can't do that unless you have people, and you can't have the people unless you have them capable and able of having the time committed to that effort. You can't do that if they're having to fight fires or if they're having to shift their job from maintenance of forest to a logistical support for fire because the fire season is 78 days longer or because you're faced with thousands and thousands of really intense fires in the state of Oregon and Washington, which is what we faced last year with a record year in that area of the country and what we could potentially face in California this year with all those dead trees. So we are committed to this. We just need the help, particularly of the congressional delegation in the Northwest, to work with us to get this budget fixed so that the top 1 to 2% of fires that take 30% of our resources can be treated as a natural disaster, just like a hurricane, just like a flood, just like a tornado, and be funded through a FEMA account where there is money for emergencies of this type. And that would then free up resources within the Forest Service budget, and it would provide predictability and stability so the chief could make commitments in advance of additional preparation work. We could use that preparation work to leverage more private and public sector dollars, and we would end up treating far more acres than we are today, even though we've seen an increase of somewhere between 15 and 20% of the acreage that we have been doing in, since the previous administration. So a lot of work being done here, but at the end of the day, it's Congress that's got to get the, Congress has got to do its work. Everybody else is working hard. Congress has got to get this done.
And our final question of the day belongs to Alan Berga of Bloomberg News. Alan, good morning.
Thank you for having time for my question. First point is, you said that the acreage burned so far this year is five times over last year's record year. Does that mean you are expecting another record season? And then I'm interested in both the thoughts of both Secretary Vilsack and Chief Tidwell on the role that climate change is playing in all of this. If climate change is intensifying, will we expect to see these acreage numbers and numbers of fires to only increase?
Alan, I want to make sure that you understood what I said properly. I want to make sure I explained it properly. What I said was a comparison of the time frame from 1970 to 2012, where we've seen a five-fold increase in the number of fires greater than 25,000 acres across the western U.S. So this is a comparison. This is a data point to show that we are our fire season is changing. Our wildland fire environment is profoundly changing. We have seen a number of fires already this year. We've had a fire in Oklahoma that was unusual in terms of the timing. We've had fires in Florida that are raging right now. And we will no doubt be seeing increased fire activity in the western part of the U.S. Our expectation is, in many parts of the country, a normal fire season, which equates to thousands of fires, still equates to thousands of fires, with a particular emphasis and concern about California, and particularly Southern California, just because of the number of dead trees that they've experienced recently and the amount of hazardous fuel buildup that has occurred as a result of those trees dying. We think a lot of what's happening in terms of the length of drought, the disease and bark beetle infestations that have damaged and killed millions of acres of trees and millions of trees throughout the western U.S. are directly related to climate. And the expectation would be if we continue to get warmer temperatures, that we will continue to see more intense storms, longer droughts, more lightning strikes, all of the sort of the recipe for more intense, longer, more severe fires, unless we're in a position to do more work in terms of maintenance to reduce the risk of those fires. Unless we're able to work with the public sector and our other state and local officials to prepare our communities more effectively to protect against fires getting out of control. All of that requires personnel, all of it requires resources, all of it requires a focus. And I know it's a broken record, but I keep coming back to the one element that really needs to do its work that hasn't in this space, which is the Congress. The fires and the Forest Service has done incredible work under the circumstances. They've seen more of their budget being eaten up by fire, but nevertheless, they're still doing more work in the forest because they found creative, innovative, more efficient ways to use the limited personnel they have. They found partnerships. They've reached out to the public sector. They've reached out to utility companies to clear out utility lines. They've reached out to state governments with the Good Neighbor Authority. They've done all of that. But they could do so much more if they had predictability and stability in their budget, if they didn't have the constant need to borrow money and to redirect personnel because of a fire season that continues to grow longer, fires that are more intense, fires that eat up more acres, and fires that put life and property at greater risk. Congress has an affirmative responsibility and duty to fix this problem, and only Congress can fix it. And we've reached a point where we've done just about all we can do with the limited resources to try to maintain. But when you've had a fire season like we had last year with over 10 million acres that have burned, the expectation, anticipation is in some place in this country, sometime this year, you're going to have a record fire. Some state's going to have the worst fire they've ever had. And, you know, we have a particular focus, obviously, on California for the reasons that we've said, but it could happen in any state at any point in time because of the hazardous buildup that's fuel buildup that's occurred. This has got to get fixed. It just has to get fixed, and it's got to get fixed this year. Otherwise, we're looking at continued delay, continued borrowing, continued lack of personnel, and the problem's only going to get worse.
Reporters, thank you for your questions today, and all of you in the listening audience for joining us for today's broadcast. Mr. Secretary, Chief Tidwell, Undersecretary Bonnie, do any of you have closing thoughts?
We'll let the Chief have the final word.
Well, once again, just there's no question with our fire season today being hotter, drier, and longer, 78 days longer on average, this is not weather. This is a climate change. And that's what we're dealing with. And this hasn't just happened over 1 year. This has been going on for the last 20 years. So my closing comment is, once again, I'd ask everyone to do what they can to be safe with fire. Be careful with fire and try to eliminate some of the human-caused fires that we deal with every year. That just helps out our firefighters and helps protect our communities. But the other key thing is that it's just essential that we find a way to be more proactive, to be able to thin out our forests, reduce the hazards to our communities, reduce the hazards to our firefighters, because we're going to continue to have fires. We're going to have longer, hotter, drier fire season, but we can reduce the threat to our communities. So what it'll take is increase our capacity, our ability to work with our partners to be able to reduce that threat by thinning out our forests. You put that in combination with the resources we have to suppress fires, and we can reduce the threat. We no longer have to every year accept 3,500 to 4,500 homes that are lost every year, and hundreds of firefighters that put their lives at risk every year, and the tragic loss of life. So we can fix this, but we're going to have to shift and become proactive to be able to address the problem.
Mr. Secretary, Chief Tidwell, Undersecretary Bonnie, thank you. This is Rod Bain from the USDA Radio Studios in Washington, D.C.
Thank you for listening. This is Connie Hunter at Curry Coast Community Radio, Community Conversations, and we just wanted to make sure that you got all of the latest information on what the fire season's expected to be in 2016, and maybe reach out to Congress and ask for more funding on the first part of fire prevention, which is maintaining our forests. Thank you for listening. Let us know your thoughts, and we'll follow up with an interview with our fire district chiefs and other people around forestry issues.
Thank you for listening to Curry Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.